I had been in Germany for a few months when another couple and I decided to climb a mountain. It was wonderful to walk along and simply be surrounded by nature, to be able to breathe in the beauty of God's world, to be lost in one's own thoughts. We had almost reached the top when I saw before me what was an iron ladder going straight up the side of the mountain. I tried not to show my fear as I glanced down at the valley below. We were, after all, in the Alps, not simply on a small hill in New Brunswick. Suddenly I froze on that ladder. My backpack felt so heavy, it was as if it was going to pull me right off the ladder, right off the face of that mountain. My friend reached down and took my backpack, and I slowly made the climb to the top. As I literally crawled up on the top, which was flat, I looked up, and there sat on a bench in front of a large cross was a fairly elderly lady, looking as if she was no worse for wear. She was sitting there in silence. She was drinking in the calm of God's presence. She was meditating. I didn't disturb that moment, but it became etched in my mind and in my heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Today's gospel reading covers a great deal. In a few short verses, we are exposed to five parables: the mustard seed, the yeast in the flour, the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great value, and the fishnet. It's amazing. For each parable is short, and it seems that they are unrelated. It is as if Jesus catches a glimpse of what the reign of God is like, a glimpse of what could be on this earth of ours. One writer said it is though Jesus is holding up a prism to the light, like our stained glass windows, and the sun is shining through, and he is describing the images to us. Not only for us to listen, not only for us to enjoy, but so that we can think, we can ponder, we can reflect, and then we will know how to respond. And he uses very ordinary languages. He uses images that people are familiar with: the yeast, the tiniest seed, the hidden treasure. These parables are not expected to turn everything into bread or into a mustard plant. They're meant to be inspiring. They're meant to be inspiring and a potential for change. Barbara Brown Taylor, a theologian and a well-known preacher, when she was speaking about the power of parables themselves, she says, How can the language of earth capture the reality of heaven? How can simple words describe that which is beyond all words? How can we as humans speak of a power so much greater than ours? How can we speak of God? Perhaps we do our best. And if we use the most ordinary things as Jesus did, and we trust each of us to make the connections, we cannot say exactly what will happen. We won't all respond the same, but hopefully most of us will get a message. For in the most ordinary everyday things, in the most ordinary everyday experiences, there are clues to all the holiness hidden in our world, hidden in each of our days. The first two parables, the mustard seed and the yeast, they're actually addressed to a large crowd. And Jesus shares these parables with them and he's trying to explain God's action in the world. They're parables of growth. The parables don't give instructions, but they do give a call for faith in God, who is active in the tiniest of moments. And so Jesus shares them with the crowd. And then he goes on to share the parables of the treasure and the pearl and the fishnet, perhaps to remind everyone that we need to respond what is being done. We need to respond to God's call. There's a story that I found a number of years ago, and you know me and stories. It begins, an old man, probably about my age, an old man sat in a rocker day after day after day. He was fixated in his chair, and he promised not to remove himself from that very spot until he saw God. Well, on one fine summer day, as he rocked back and forth in his chair, relentless in his quest to find a visual sign of God, he saw a young girl playing across the street. The little girl's ball rolled out into his yard. She ran to pick it up, and as she bent down to reach for her ball, she looked up at the old man and she said, "Mr. Old Man, I see you every day, rocking in your chair and staring off into nothingness. What is it that you're looking for?" "Oh, my dear child, you are yet too young to understand," replied the old man. "Maybe," replied the little girl, "but my mama told me that if I had something in my head, I should talk about it. She says that to get a better understanding, my mama always says, share your thoughts, share, share, share." "Oh, well, young child, I do not believe that you could help me." "Oh, possibly not, Mr. Old Man, but maybe I can help by just listening." "All right, young child, I am looking for God." "With all due respect, Mr. Old Man, you rock back and forth every day in that rocking chair in search of God?" the young child asked. She was puzzled. "Before I die," he said, "I need a sign of God's action in the world." "A sign, Mr. Old Man," she said. "God gives you a sign when you breathe your next breath, when you can smell fresh flowers, when you can hear a bird sing, and when a little baby is born. Sir, God gives you a sign when you laugh and when you cry, when you feel the tears roll from your eyes. It is a sign within your heart when you love or when you hug. God gives you a sign in the winds and in the rainbows, in the changes of the seasons. All the signs are there, Mr. Old Man. But do you not believe in them? God is in you. God is in me. There is no searching, for God is just there all of the time. My mama says that if you are searching for something monumental, you have to close your eyes, for God is in the simplest things. To see God is to see life in all things. God's actions are God's gift of grace to us. They are gifts that cannot simply be acquired. They cannot be purchased. And to truly sense God's presence and God's gifts, we have to enter into that space in which we are invited, into that dimension of our faith that goes beyond us. A dimension that goes beyond what we believe and what we do, because it is in that dimension in which God dwells. Jesus' parables are not just simply illustrations. There are for us to ponder and in time respond. They are meant to challenge us. During my studies at the University of Toronto, one of the courses that I had to take was the philosophy of religion. I'd never taken even one philosophy course before, So I was very nervous about it. In fact, many in my graduating class did as I did. We waited to the last possible moment to enroll. So in my final term of my final year, I bought the required book and I began to read. Oh, it's true, there were names like Socrates and Plato. But my instructor chose to work with us on the understanding of philosophical thinking, reasoning. And so he would ask us basic questions. Is faith and reason related? What does it mean to encounter the divine? What is God like? Is there evidence for the existence of God? Our discussions were challenging as we grappled with the very questions of faith itself, trying to understand God's world. We each tried as best we could to verbalize our true understanding of God, to understand the teachings that Jesus gave us, to take that small mustard seed that had been planted and allow it to grow within us, and then to try to put things in words. I must say it was a very exciting class. It was a good, good program, and it made you think. It also made you realize that we don't all have the same answers, and there are many questions we have no answers for. Jesus isn't so much like the objects themselves, but more like the actual process of what happens in these little stories, the mysterious and the powerful things that happen right beneath our eyes, even if our eyes can't seem to take it in. A few weeks ago, I took my nieces out to get some ice cream. As we were leaving the store, a man held the door open for us. Just as the 4-year-old was passing by me, she looked up and said, "I love you." To which I responded, "I love you too." And then I looked at the gentleman and said, "Life doesn't get much better than that." And he said, "And you didn't even ask for it." God is all around us. God is at work every day, in every moment of every day. Even though sometimes our human eyes and our human hearts fail to perceive what is happening, God's activity goes on. We need to uncover it for ourselves. Jesus uses parables. He uses stories. He uses things to help people think. They are like windows, and we are to look through them for understanding. We are to remain open to the tiniest of seeds, and we will truly discover that dimension that goes beyond our very being, God's gift to us. And we will know then how we are to respond, each of us in our own way. Thanks be to God.